It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh has some pretty unique topography as far as cities go. It's basically a peninsula with mountains. With the city's bridges and its triangular shape, there are many questions to be asked about how to facilitate efficient traffic patterns. Traffic and road layouts are the primary focus of the popular blog, The Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh, run by Phil Anderson. I'll make this disclaimer that Phil is not a civil engineering expert, but he is a resident Pittsburgher who's traveled to and driven in numerous cities, and he shares his observations on Pittsburgh's roads through his blog. Phil Anderson is with us here in studio. Phil, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
What are the roads, bridges, or areas of Pittsburgh where you are likely to get totally thrown if you take a wrong turn or go the wrong way? Ever have questions about Pittsburgh's roads and why they're laid out the way they are? Call with your questions or comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Phil Anderson, what prompted you to start this blog, The Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh?
Well, Paul, I moved here about 7 years ago, and as you mentioned, I've driven all over the world, 40 of the states of the United States, UK, France, Portugal, and I just realized I was really, really confused by these roads here, and they were kind of unlike anything I'd seen, and I found myself so frustrated, I just wanted to talk about it and kind of vent. You know, I didn't think anyone would actually read it, but just, you know, vent about the roads.
Sounds like, pardon me for laughing, but when you say, yeah, I needed to talk about, like you needed therapy to deal with the trauma of driving on these roads for the first time, which many, many people experience. Nate McClouth, a former pirate, he was traded away from the team. Then when he came back to Pittsburgh, he said, boy, I miss these crazy roads. Brendan Morrow, another Pittsburgh prominent athlete, a hockey player, said that, you know, he would just drive in the bus lanes because he got so frustrated trying to get through. So you're not the only one. Why are Pittsburgh streets laid out the way they are? After you decided you needed to vent, you looked into this question. What about the layout, and how does this play into the way that we drive in Pittsburgh?
Sure. So I'm still trying to find the answer to that question. and I don't claim to be an expert. But, yeah, every time I find a weird situation that's kind of like, what's going on here, I try to look back and see why that was. And it's really a combination of reasons as far as I can tell. So, for example, you know, the roads used to be a real mess in East Liberty because people trying to gentrify it in the 1950s made this complicated circle, and there were roads going under housing projects and I think part of it's the topography as well, although I don't completely give that as an excuse because San Francisco has a worse one, but their roads are still okay.
San Francisco has a worse topography, but it's better than Pittsburgh.
Yep, absolutely. So out of all the states I've been to, the only one that's worse than Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania is Louisiana. So, you know, you can consider all the challenges of the mountainous cities out west, of some of the older cities in the east, and I by far find the most confusing situations here in western Pennsylvania.
What's going on in Louisiana that makes them you're saying they're worse than we are?
Yeah, they're the only ones that are worse than Pennsylvania.
And why is that?
I'm guessing lack of funding. Maybe they have some complicated situations with the swamps or something. I don't know, but they're.
But what's
really
going on? Why are they so bad? What's wrong with them?
Some specific examples. So, like, you'll.
How can they be worse than Pittsburgh? That's what I'm.
That's what I'd like to know too, because it's pretty flat, right? But I mean, you'll have situations where there's no lines on the road.
That's good.
They have potholes, but it doesn't freeze.
More than one lane, but no lines.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Coming in different directions.
Yep. Well, yeah. At least the white dotted lines are the ones I remember. And there's all kinds of messy things going on there.
Okay. Well, it's nice to know that there are. You know, when people say it could be worse, it actually could be. So that's a good thing. We're talking with Phil Anderson of the Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh blog, and encouraging your questions at 412-246-2002. Let's go to Nate in Shadyside. Nate, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Phil Anderson.
Thanks for having me. So my question is, I've been here for about 6 years, and I've noticed that I'm from out of state originally, and there's just a ton of no turn on red signs everywhere, and they drive me insane, and I see some people follow them, some don't. I'm not going to reveal what I do, but I just wonder, like, what you guys think of that as far as why they exist and why there are so many of them here in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, that's a great point. And after being away, being a boomeranger coming back 2 years ago, I noticed that. You go downtown, no turn on red everywhere. That sign is posted. Phil, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, so I actually had a post about this where I tried to figure this out myself. Now, like, I'm sure PennDOT or the city of Pittsburgh will tell you, well, it's because it's not safe to turn right on red. Maybe there's pedestrians. Maybe it's an unclear obstruction. But it actually makes no sense. There's areas where completely clear view, low pedestrians, no turn on red. Others, obstructed view, but you can turn on red. You know, so it's really kind of like, if it were consistent one way or the other, I might be able to give you a rational explanation, but it's really all over the place.
412-246-2002, the number to call. You have made a list of things on your blog, Phil, that typically cause traffic in Pittsburgh. What are they? I mean, it probably isn't enough time in this entire hour to go through all of them, but I've looked at this list you've posted, and you know, sharp curves, lanes ending, you know, all that kind of thing. So I'll let you kind of take it from there, because there's a lot of other stuff on this list.
Sure, and what you described is all just happening in one confluence at the Fort Pitt Bridge. And so I often wonder if you guys even pay people for a traffic report, because I think Larkin says the same thing every single day. You know, slow from Green Tree to Fort Pitt Tunnel, from 28 from Hines to the Millvale exit. It's the exact same thing every single day here, and it's really just a combination of traffic patterns that are not optimal. So you're going through a tunnel and making a sharp turn and having a stop sign at a merge area. You know, there's really this huge number of things, you know, not to mention the hills and everything else that really make it difficult. And so you just have these consistent traffic problems every single day.
Now, you mentioned some potential solutions for Pittsburgh's traffic infrastructure issues in your blog. And one of the things that you didn't address, for example, you mentioned the Fort Pitt Bridge. So what would be the potential solution there in your view?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the real solution is to rethink it all from scratch because you have some, you know, substantial issues that you just really can't solve. Like, for example, the 90-degree turn when you're trying to get on, you know, you can't solve that without substantial redoing of the highway. But that said, if we're going to keep the existing infrastructure, some things you could do, I think, to alleviate it is reduce the exits. So right now there's a merge coming on from Smallman Street, I believe, or maybe anyway, there's a merge coming on at the same time you're making that turn. And then there's also – you have to cut over between two lanes of traffic, so there's this kind of this X traffic pattern happening. So if you can just eliminate one or two of those and make it so maybe people coming from the eastbound can't cut all the way over to Carson Street, then you don't have this crossover situation. I think there's just going to be some things to redo that a little.
David on Twitter says, please have your guest, Phil Anderson, explain Pittsburgh Strait navigation direction. Pittsburgh Strait. You're smiling. You have no clue.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. I don't either. If anybody does, Pittsburgh Strait, does that come off of GPS off of a Garmin system, or?
Yeah, the only thing I can think is Pittsburgh, you know, there's Strait. A lot of these weird like five-way intersections, so sometimes you have to tell people, you know, you're not going left, you're not going left, you're going like Pittsburgh Strait maybe. I don't know.
Well,
I just made that up though.
Yeah. Well, there is of course the Pittsburgh left, the infamous Pittsburgh left. And also there's the other thing let's look at the left first. What have you ever encountered that anywhere else you've ever driven?
No, I mean, so a lot of times, I grew up in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and so people would often just take a left, you know, they would just jump the red light and take the left, and that's fine. But never have I been to a city where
that's
people...
That's fine?
Well, you know, it's fine if you can make it and it's clear, but like here people try to
it's
give
it. It's fine
if
you don't get T-boned. I mean,
it's true, right? You're taking the risk, you're definitely breaking the law, but here it's actively encouraged. And so people
right.
will stop in the middle of
traffic.
Well,
people will wait.
Yeah.
Now, what if you don't acknowledge it? Who's wrong? This is the thing I'm really trying to figure out, because you'll be at the intersection, light turns green, and you see that guy, you know, or woman, and they're angling in, you know, they're already, you know, their neck is already halfway out into the intersection. You know, they're making the turn. They're kind of stopping, like, you know, just sort of giving you the pretend courtesy of, I know you have the right of way, but this is Pittsburgh, pal. And so are they right, or should the person – I mean, because technically you still have the right of way, don't you, the person going straight?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously the legal answer is the person going straight has the right of way. However,
right, but we know that doesn't always right. apply. So in Pittsburgh, what is the proper etiquette?
Yeah, so I always say the Pittsburgh left can only be taken, not given. So in other words, if someone wants to take the Pittsburgh left, they're very clearly giving you the intention they're going to do it. Okay, go ahead and let them do it. But don't wait and encourage them to take it, because if they're not on top of it, just let them make the left turn like an adult.
What happens if you wait, though? Yeah, because what happens if you hesitate and then – and then if you don't go quickly enough or you wait a beat, then you go, like, you're looking at a potential collision.
Exactly. It's not only is it a collision, but it's holding up traffic. And so, you know, we get in this situation where traffic's even worse because the light cycles are ending up shorter than they should be because someone waited, you know, three or four car lengths before they decided to let somebody turn left. And, yeah, so when in doubt, just try to stick to the law, maybe would be my
so Phil Anderson of the Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh blog says, when in doubt, obey the law. Wow, what a concept.
Yeah.
So, Phil, an interesting point brought up by Richard. He says that money that should be going into projects that fix roads, that fix infrastructure, is easy to divert. I would not know if that necessarily is true or not, but what do you know about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to be optimistic and assume there's not corruption in the roads, but I do think it is a good point, which is a lot of the reasons we have such a complicated problem here is the structure of the government, right? Because PennDOT is building roads that are in a county that also have to deal with townships, and so you can see there's probably a lot of finagling probably to get these rights of ways in the first place. But he has a good point. You know, something I think about often is right now we have all these huge traffic problems, and what's PennDOT spending $500 million on? Well, they're building the Southern Beltway from Finleyville to Robinson, which is, no offense to anybody who lives out there, but literally in the middle of nowhere. So how does something like that get priority over our constant traffic here?
We'll have a chance. I'm glad you brought that up, because we will have a chance in the segment coming up to ask that very question of a PennDOT official who will be joining us, and as well as Patrick Hassett, Assistant Director of the Pittsburgh Public Works Department. We'll have Dan Cessna from PennDOT as well to discuss that situation. 412-246-2002. We have Eric in Baldwin, who has an explanation for the Pittsburgh Strait. Eric, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Hey, very good. Thank you for having me on.
You bet.
I've got a slightly different perspective because I moved here 8 years ago, so I had to learn this stuff. It wasn't just born in me. The Pittsburgh Strait drove me crazy. It is when you have roads that are normally twisty, turny roads. You're on a road, say, for example, in my neck of the woods, Brownsville Road in Whitehall. There's an intersection by the South Hills Country Club where it's a four-way intersection at the traffic light, and to stay on Brownsville Road, you have to make a left turn. You cannot go straight. Now, the problem is that if you come the other way, there's a sign that says, hey, if you want to go down Brownsville Road, take a right turn. But it doesn't tell you that if you go straight, you're going on Brownsville Road the other direction. Having to turn to stay on the same named road, that one messed with me for months and months. But that, to me, is Pittsburgh Strait.
Okay, so you're not actually going straight, but that's how you stay on the same road, by turning.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up, Eric. Does that make sense to you, Phil? You've encountered this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. The South Hills is notorious for this type of thing. I remember my first confusion here was that there's 19 and then there's also 19, and they kind of run parallel. And 19, you have to make a left to stay on 19. And, yeah, so Brownsville Road, 19. The South Hills has a ton of these things like that.
Now, you've traveled more than I have. I have seen other cities. Not many, but other cities where you do have to turn to stay on the same road. That is relatively unique to Pittsburgh. Have you encountered that anywhere else?
Not to the extent that I see it here. You know, typically, if it's going to be labeled the same road or the same route, you know, you make it so.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Lori from the Strip District. Hi, Lori. You're on with Phil Anderson of the Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh blog.
Hi, Phil. How you doing? I'm cracking up listening to you because we kind of have a running joke here, me and a few of my friends. Commonly, you come to an intersection, and as a courtesy, you say, no, go ahead, you can go, and then they wave you on and say, no, 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 you go, and you go back and forth. But in Pittsburgh, we say, F you go, and then I'm going to smash into you. Just wanted to share that, Phil.
Well, yeah, and Lori, I don't doubt that there are incidents like that, and I think we've all witnessed those. But all things considered, as bad as the roads are, or as bad as the traffic patterns are in Pittsburgh and the surrounding area, how would you classify the demeanor of the drivers here? All things considered, it doesn't seem to be that bad.
Oh, no. I mean, the drivers are certainly one of the most friendly. You know, a lot of people in Pittsburgh don't want to say they're in the Midwest, but, like, you can tell by the friendliness of somebody that comes from D.C. that people are very gracious here. They're you know, almost to a fault. Like, you know, as she was talking about, they'll let you in. You know, if you ever want to merge lanes, people will let you in. It's very, very, very friendly, and I think that, you know, it's because we're all in this together, having problems with these roads.
Exactly. Let's go to Mallory in Millvale. Mallory, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. What is your comment or question for Phil?
So I wanted to say, growing up in and around Pittsburgh, I never thought that, you know, anything was particularly odd or special about driving around here. But let me tell you, moving back with my husband, who's originally from Florida, it's hysterical. He points out everything that I never thought was weird about Pittsburgh, like the fact that tunnels aren't tunnels, they're tubes. None of our roads have names. They all are either a color or a parkway that's going in any sort of cardinal direction. Well, but that's pretty much it.
Well, they have renamed
it. Really funny.
It is funny. And just so you know, Mallory, they have renamed the Liberty. They're always called the Tubes, but they actually have put a new sign up above the Liberty Tubes, as they've been called since they first showed up in the late 20s, but they've got a big Liberty Tunnel sign. So I think they're trying to get you to say it differently now.
It's going to take probably another 100 years for that to happen.
Yeah, if you just rebrand the tunnels, that'll fix the traffic. So I think it's a step in the right direction.
Let's take one more call from Bill in the South Hills. Thank you, Mallory, by the way. Bill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hello, Bill. Looks like we've lost Bill, but I have a question before we wrap this up. We mentioned the worst traffic conditions, and glad to hear that Pittsburgh's traffic conditions are not the worst. What area has the best? What's the best traffic pattern going in America or the world for that matter?
Geez, that's a tough one. I will say something I really like about England and Europe in general is that they do a really good job of labeling roads on the road itself. So, like, you know, a big confusion here is you don't know what lane to be in. There they put it right in the lane, so there's no mistake. And I've seen
what do they put?
It's just like a paint. So if you need to be in the left lane to stay on 376, it'll say 376 west in your lane. So you know without a doubt you're in the right lane. It's very clear. You don't have to kind of like look up under a bridge. And I've seen places like D.C. start to implement this.
I think I've seen it down south. Of course, in England, if you're using that as the example, that's the one place in the world where they drive on the right side of the road. So I think we do have Bill in South Hills now. Bill, yeah. You there? Hi. Sorry about that. Welcome. You get the last word or the next to last word on the segment here. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'm Bill Steigerwald. I used to work for the Post-Gazette and the Trib, and I've written dozens and dozens of columns and stories about Pittsburgh roads. I just recently drove around the country in 33 states, and I would still rank Pittsburgh's roads as the worst that I came across. Louisiana's was a close second, and I attribute that to the combination of bad drivers and too many bayous or something. It's a horrible, horrible roads.
But you disagree with Phil. You disagree that you say Pittsburgh is the absolute worst.
Yes, I do believe so. Hmm. And I've driven an awful lot of places in thousands and thousands of miles all over the place. Pittsburgh's roads are poorly designed, poorly made. They're poorly signed. In every single way. I mean, I guess you have gotten me started, but everything from the way they didn't connect the Parkway West with I-79 in the one direction for 30 years, the ridiculous intersection of I-79 North when it hits I-70 near Washington, PA. It was a key intersection at an interstate. The insane ramp coming out of downtown Pittsburgh onto the Fort Pitt Bridge as you're coming home, where you have to come to a stop sign and crane your neck backwards trying to look to see who's coming from the north side on the ramp. It's I'm surprised there aren't wrecks there every single day, 10 a day. And everywhere you turn, you're going to have PennDOT people come on. Ask them why, when you're going north on I-79 across the Ohio River, that if you wanted to go to Pittsburgh, there's no sign, there's no printed out sign that says Pittsburgh this way, south on, Route 60 or 65.
I'll tell you what, we'll save that question for Dan Cessna when he comes on. And in the meantime, Bill, thank you for the call. Phil, you should probably interview Bill. All right, for your blog. Last comment from John in Cranberry. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Go ahead with a quick last comment here, please.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, John. How are you?
Great. I just wanted to kind of compare. Earlier they commented about how good San Francisco roads are. Essentially, they're north-south. They run north-south, east-west, and they're straight. And I came here on a project from California, and being an old pilot at times, everything was north-south, east-west. And, of course, I got completely dizzy driving around here. I was talking to one of the locals, and they said, how are you doing driving? And I said, well, I'm trying to figure out the roads. And he said, let me give you a tip. Don't try to figure them out. Try to figure them out. It'll drive you crazy. So I quit trying to figure them out. It don't make sense, but I'm getting around better. And I think whoever designed them was an aficionado of crop circles.
John from Cranberry, thank you. Phil, is that maybe the best advice that you could give someone in your blog, that just don't worry, don't stop trying to figure them out, just deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's like the seven stages of driving a Pittsburgh roads. You have anger and then grief and eventually you have acceptance, which is what John alluded to. So, yeah, I think that's a good philosophy. And I'm glad we're number one in roads. So, you know, that Pittsburgh pride, if we are really the worst, you know.
Hey,
keep the competition going.
Another category where we're number one. Phil Anderson has been our guest. His blog is called The Nonsensical Roads of Pittsburgh. Phil Anderson, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, we'll address Phil Anderson's points about Pittsburgh traffic with Public Works and PennDOT officials. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're spending the better part of today's program discussing the roads of Pittsburgh, their layout, and traffic patterns. I'm joined now in studio by Patrick Hassett. He's Assistant Director of the Pittsburgh Public Works Department, overseeing the Bureau of Transportation. Patrick Hassett, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to be here.
And also with us is PennDOT Local District Executive Dan Cessna. Dan, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be here.
What questions do you have about the roads of Pittsburgh? You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. Patrick or Dan, talk about Pittsburgh's topography, some of the history that's led to the way that the roads are laid out here, and we'll start with Patrick. Cities like Pittsburgh and other older northeastern cities were built before the streets were laid out, essentially before cars were invented. Is that part of why we have some of the problems we have here?
Clearly, that's part of the why we have some of the problems we have here. It was a different world when many of the streets were laid out, and history has perceived that these streets stay as they were. There was a dense development. We walked a lot. We had horses instead of vehicles. A lot of the streets are designed today were not designed for the motor vehicle or the uses we have them today. So history has played a big role in that.
And, Dan, why are some of the roads in the city limits there's some confusion about who – controls, who runs the roads or the system that oversees the roads. Why are some roads in the city limits run by PennDOT and some by the city?
It's a good question. It does cause a lot of confusion. There's not a huge rhyme or reason to it. From a standpoint, certainly PennDOT controls all the interstate highway system. But beyond that, the arterials through the city, some are owned by PennDOT, some are owned by the city, some are owned by the county. And if you trace back, a lot of it is who built the road or who might have been involved. And then through the years, laws actually changed some of those designations. The county built a lot of roads as they were developing the region. Some of those roads were turned back to the state in the 1960s. So there's really no set method as to who owns which highway.
What are the traffic and infrastructure issues that your office hears about the most? I'll start with you on this one, Dan.
It ranges. Certainly, we get comments and complaints that range from as simple as, could you add a stop sign here? Could you change this traffic light? The timing of the signals is a big one. To the maintenance issues, you know, potholes, this is certainly a time of year when that's going to increase. It runs the gamut.
And how do you when problems come up for you, Patrick? How do you address them? What do you do? Let me go back to you, Dan. First of all, when someone says, "Hey, we need a stop sign here," I mean, are you able to just go right ahead and do that, or is there a whole?
There's a process.
I'm sure.
If it's for a stop sign, the municipality has to request it. Just because a person that lives there would want a stop sign, that's not something that we would do. And then there has to be a warrant analysis done to determine if it's warranted to be placed. Because the last thing you want to do is add stop signs where they're not needed. Just creates another potential hazard for motorists.
Patrick, what are some of the problems that you hear about most?
Well, the most prominent problems are either parking or intersections. And the reason parkings are an issue is everybody thinks they have a God-given right to park on the street in front of their building or in front of their business. In a certain extent, they do have a right, but other people have an equal right. So we spend a lot of time managing that parking on the street. Intersections are a big concern because that's where everybody congregates. That's where the pedestrians are. That's where the buses are. That's where the cars are. That's where the loading zones are. So there's often a lot of complaints regarding who has the rights to access or navigate through that intersection. So it's intersections and parking occupy a lot of our time.
Speaking of intersections, we have William from West Mifflin on the line. William, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with our guests, Dan Cessna and Patrick Hassett.
Thank you very much. I'm very interested in the topic. I moved to Pittsburgh and learned to drive here about 30 years ago and have really enjoyed it because it's one of the most interesting places to drive because you have to follow the topography. My question and comment is about the reconstruction of the...
Oh, William, are you there? Well, we lost William. Hopefully we can get William back to ask that. It's a real cliffhanger.
He's getting to a very interesting question.
Well, we'll get back to that. Let me get to some of the questions that were raised during our previous segment with Phil Anderson. PennDOT was there are a lot of PennDOT related questions. Dan Cessna, someone asked about why is $500 million being spent to build a Southern Beltway?
Well, actually, that is a Pennsylvania Turnpike project, not a PennDOT project, but it is a requirement of a law that was passed in the 1980s that requires the Turnpike to build those highway expansion projects.
And then another question that came up, why when you're going north on 79, there's no sign for Pittsburgh? You may have heard that.
Yeah, I did hear the question. I'm going to look into that. Certainly on an interstate, you use interstate to interstate connections first. And if you're coming north on 79, your first choice would be to take I-376 into the city.
Let's go to some Twitter comments. Jan says her biggest gripe, by the time you see a sign, you've already driven past the exit. CA on Twitter says five-way intersections, lanes that spontaneously turn into turn-only lanes. That's probably happened to some folks. You're driving along and all of a sudden you can't go straight. Park cars in bike lanes and on narrow streets is another complaint. Sound familiar, Patrick?
Very familiar. And I've always contended that our streets are probably our most complicated real estate because of what you just said. Everybody's on the streets doing something different, and somehow we got to accommodate them all safely. In regards to five-legged intersections, they're a reality here in Pittsburgh, but there is some improvements we can probably make in terms of the clarity as to where and how you navigate through the intersection. And we are looking into that. And as complaints come in through 311, we do take a look at these intersections to see if there are improvements that we can make to the markings, to the signage.
And Jeremy also asks via email at ESSPGH. He says, often the only sign marking which lane allows for turns and which lane goes straight is placed behind the intersection. Any idea why that is? Are you familiar with that, and do you know why that is?
That's historical. Current standards have us put the lane designations before the intersection and on the pavement.
Should that be changed, do you think?
Yes. Right. We should be going out and correcting that.
Okay. So for Jeremy.
So what intersection was he?
He wasn't referring to a specific one. He was just saying in general, he sometimes sees that there's a sign marking which lane allows for turns and which lane goes straight. It's placed behind the intersection. So apparently there's more than one maybe?
There probably are.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one that we've improved. If you look at Hayeswood Avenue and Beechwood Boulevard, that has the proper lane delineations that I was talking about.
412-246-2002, if you would like to join our conversation as we address some of the traffic problems that exist in the area with Patrick Hassett of he's the assistant director of the Pittsburgh Public Works Department, overseeing the Bureau of Transportation, and PennDOT local district executive Dan Cessna. Let's go to Sean in McMurray. Sean, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, Sean.
It's John.
Oh, John, I beg your pardon. Yes. John and McMurray, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
You know, the reason I'm calling, I think I have something that sums up this conversation very well, is that I'm a retired Pittsburgh public school teacher. I taught gifted students, and one day I overheard the comment by one of my gifted students talk to another student. He said, Pittsburgh streets are so non-Euclidean, shortcuts take longer than the regular way.
That may well sum it. You have two guys in here smiling, so I guess there's
It came from one of my gifted students, and I always remember that.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sean. We appreciate it.
John.
John, I'm looking at the screen that says the incorrect word for your name. John, thank your student for us, would you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said, thank that student for us.
Oh, I wish I could remember his name. I remember the quote, I don't remember his name, but I think it sums up the whole conversation.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to go back to the signs behind the intersection. Jeremy has overheard your question, Patrick, about what is the specific area where that's happening. And you acknowledge that there's more than one, but Jeremy was referring to the intersection at North Highland and East Liberty Boulevard, which was just updated and includes those same terrible traffic jam causing lane markings and signs. And again, he's pointing out that the problem is that the sign is placed behind the intersection. So are you familiar with what he's talking about there?
Yeah, I'll have to go out and take a look and see what he's talking about.
How about that?
I'm familiar with the intersection. Immediate
response to a problem pointed out by Jeremy via email. Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate that. Let's go to Edward in Murraysville with a question. Edward, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. One of the things that I've observed over the years in Pittsburgh is it seems to be that the Pittsburgh drivers have a proclivity to crash through intersections on a red light. When the light turns yellow and they're 50 feet from the intersection, they step on the accelerator. And that's very dangerous. If you're a pedestrian particularly, you have to be very, very careful about crossing the streets, particularly during the high-intensity hours of lunchtime. And there doesn't seem to be any activity taken to try to curb this practice.
Well, I think we've all seen that in Pittsburgh. I don't think it's unique to Pittsburgh. I know that there's a discussion about having red light cameras come in. Patrick or Dan, how would you address Edward's concern?
Well, that comes down to an enforcement issue first and foremost. Within communities, whoever the jurisdiction is, whether they monitor the intersections and cite people for that. But again, to your point about red light cameras, they are in use in Philadelphia on certain corridors, and that's expanding. The ability to do that in the city of Pittsburgh exists if the city they're allowed to do it by state law now if they would choose to implement that on a number of intersections. And it's to improve safety, first and foremost. People think it's revenue generating, but it isn't. It's to enhance safety of the intersections.
A Twitter comment from, or a question on Twitter from Morgan, who asks, is there a reason why Schenley Park Oval isn't a travel circle? It's hard to turn left going east there. Patrick?
I'm not sure what he's referring to in Schenley Park Oval. We have the oval up in the park, but if he's referring to the intersection outside of the visitor center.
I believe that's the area he's talking about.
We do have preliminary plans to convert that into a circle. And it was a matter now of funding and accommodating some of the parking impacts in the design.
What are some of the biggest traffic problems and infrastructure issues your office is addressing at the moment?
Well, I mean, a number of areas that are currently being worked on. 28 was considered one of the worst bottlenecks in western Pennsylvania and maybe the state. We're in the final phase of five phases and a number of years of construction. We'll complete that by Thanksgiving of this year.
Everybody will be giving thanks when that happens.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. That's an investment of over $150 million in design and construction costs over the last 10 years. And the 5188 intersection is under construction right now to make a major enhancement there. At the same time, renovating the poor condition bridge structures. And that's the biggest challenge that we have in this region is the condition of the existing infrastructure.
What about for you, Patrick?
Well, I share the bridge statement with our district. But also what we have going on behind the scenes is we're updating our computer software and our communications equipment so as to be able to allow our signals to communicate both with us and with each other out there. We have two major federal projects going on that will update all of our signal equipment out in the field as well as the communications and computer software to manage them better.
It's been noted that streets which aren't drivable show up on GPS navigation and maps. For example, some local streets turn into city steps and GPS devices recognize them as drivable streets. This brings up the question of why city steps and other drivable areas are labeled as streets at all.
Well, there's two reasons for that. Number one is just the problem with the GPS managers and not understanding the topography or the street network in Pittsburgh. But also understand, given the history of Pittsburgh, we do have some steps that serve as addresses to houses. And to be an address to a house, it needs to be labeled as a street.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Jeff from Fox Chapel. We'll take a couple more calls here. Jeff, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'm wondering, 279 North, when you go past Camp Horn Road, it bears off and then it merges with 79. You bear off to the right on 79 to go north. Why can't you go south? Why isn't there an interchange so that you could go south on 279 or on 79 and vice versa? If you're going north on 79, come back and make a right and go south on Parkway North towards Pittsburgh.
Sounds like a question for Dan Cessna.
Yeah, again, when the interstates were laid out and established, some of the connections weren't made at some of the interchanges. We get that same question. It comes into my office about once or twice a year. It just comes down to there's no simple solution in that regard. It would cost many hundreds of millions of dollars to add those connections that he's referring to. And the analysis shows that most of the way the traffic travels, those connections wouldn't be used as much as the primary ones. And again, at the Parkway West interchange 376 with 79 in 2006 and 7, we did add a couple of the missing connections at that location. So it's not to say it will never be done, but it's certainly not one of the region's highest priorities.
I'd just like to say on Route 28, you guys have done a great job. Kudos to the engineers, to the construction firms, everyone, to keep that traffic flowing in such an area. I was real amazed as I drive the road. So good job, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We do receive a lot of compliments on that project. It's coming along well.
Let's take one last call from Stephen in Lawrenceville. Stephen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. I just have a comment and another comment. I don't envy
please
these
make it
guys.
Quick.
It's a hard job, I'm sure, with the infrastructure and the weather. But then I just wanted to say that inbound 28, where it connects to 65, there is no sign for 65 until you're on the ramp. And I think there should be an overhead green sign saying this is how you get to 65.
We'll take a look at that.
Last question for you guys very quickly because we are over time here. But one important concern that I think people have is that as Pittsburgh's population tends to grow again, how much more congestion can our roads handle? Do you have plans to address steady population growth?
you know, there's a lot of challenges with that. I think what we really need to emphasize in the region is good access to public transit, try to promote the use of transit, try to promote development that ties into transit, because there's simply not the resources or means to chase population growth, depending how far it sprawls and where all it happens.
Likewise, we're looking at providing more live and work opportunities, increasing the cycling infrastructure in the city, and better accommodating the pedestrians out there.
I want to thank both of our guests, Patrick Hassett, Assistant Director of the Pittsburgh Public Works Department, and also Dan Cessna, Local District Executive with PennDOT. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Our pleasure.
Coming up, we will preview St. Patrick's Day with a County Cork native, Ann Flynn Schlick. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.